Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Obviously, front lawns are a terrible idea. I mean, Hank, what do all of these front lawns have in common? No one is using them! They're just sitting there sucking 4 billion gallons of drinking water every fracking day! Also, in order to maintain this completely unnatural plant monoculture, we use 70 million pounds of pesticides every year on our grass. Grass which, I will remind you, does not feed us! I'm sorry, Hank, but it is very hot, and just like characters in Victorian novels, the temperature reflects my temperament. 70 million pounds of pesticides a year, it's ridiculous. And the most ridiculous part is that I'm out there with them, trying to make sure that my grass looks okay so my neighbors don't get mad at me. Now, Hank, there are some advantages to lawns. Grass turns carbon dioxide into oxygen, although it's hardly the most efficient carbon sink. And there's some soil erosion benefits, although we'd all be better off if we had, like, a big mix of plants in our front yard. And we'd be better off still if we had vegetable gardens. So how did we end up with the disaster that is the front lawn? The British. That's right, Hank. We threw off their colonial yoke and said no to taxation without representation, but they got us on the lawns.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
How did it get to be August?
I don't know.
It just, you know,
it
one of those things.
It just showed up.
Yeah. On the doorstep this morning, I got out here and went, it's August. And, you know, these are supposed to be the dog days. And they're not.
I hope they're over.
There's a ton of stuff going on. Well, the dog days
temperature-wise, I hope are over.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to say anything.
We'll wait for Rick.
Because it's still August.
We'll wait for Rick.
We could, yeah. Rick mm-hmm. will tell us whether we're going to have any of those nasty, nasty days. By the way, I should give credit to the guy you heard at the top of the show. You got something funny coming in?
The firefighters of Engine Company Tower Ladder 54 are listening to us as they wax the rigs.
Wax on, baby.
Wax off.
Wax on.
Have fun,
wax
guys.
Off. Wax off. Good going, guys.
Yep.
Enjoy.
Yep. You should see their koi pond. It's beautiful. They've been listening to the show, and they've put in a new fountain, and now they're just trying to – it keeps getting green. Like, hey. Despite their best efforts, it keeps turning. The algae keeps coming back. So I sent them – I told them that SIDS has everything 40% off on all their pond supplies because they're going out of business, sadly.
50% off now.
50% off now.
And this will be the last week you can get stuff there.
Yeah, so I told them to head over to SIDS.
Yeah. By the way, guys, firefighter guys, your koi, they're just colorful carp, basically.
Yeah, they're pretty. And it's better than just having nothing.
You know, now somebody will call me and go, oh, they're not really carp.
It's better than the ones trying to invade Lake Michigan.
Really...
I'd rather have a lake full of koi than a lake full of Asian carp, so...
It's true.
Yeah. Give me the koi.
Can you imagine if the koi of the world just started jumping out of ponds and swiping people? Just
like
whack,
Planet
whacking.
Of the Apes gone koi.
Exactly, gone koi. Planet of the Koi. Next on the Mike Novak Show.
You're better off talking about flowers.
All right, and of course, it starts... it's nice. Thank you, people who... write to me, and a friend of mine, Linda Califf, wrote and said, she said, the most urgent thing she's writing about, she said, and it's so nice to have people actually read my website, because I do all this work on it, and I always assume I just send it out into the ethernets, and
people are checking it out.
They really
don't
are.
Don't you worry. Don't you and your ego worry at all.
And correcting me.
And
she asked two really important questions. First, she said, first, the most urgent, on the This Week Show section of your website today, on the second line of the IGC info, and we're going to be talking about IGC, actually mostly next week. That's the Independent Garden Center show, and it's coming to Navy Pier, but it doesn't come until next week, not this coming week, but the following week. She says, it says the show runs from Tuesday, April 16th to April 18th.
Oh, it sure do.
Oops.
Mm-hmm. I assume that's August.
That's
August. We got our A-months crossed.
We got our A-months crossed because Mikey was working very fast yesterday. So, Kathleen, if you have a chance and you're not making coffee or something...
Let her make her coffee first,
yeah. And then change that.
It'd be really cool if you could, like, you know, do the whole zap back through time to April and maybe have a nicer spring so the plants would...
Superman thing.
Yeah, but no, it's August.
You're buzzing again there.
Buzzing.
Is it the firefighter guys again?
Yes, it's them. They're laughing. They think we're funny.
But looks aren't everything, as we know. That's an old 14-year-old joke.
Got a face for radio,
yeah,
we
exactly.
Do.
But wait, there's my. I don't have a rim shot, so they just give me a bell. And also, Linda writes, on a less urgent note, do you still have an email newsletter?
You haven't done the newsletter
not
in a while.
Not in a long,
I signed
a
up
really
for your
long time. It's time for me to send out a newsletter. Mm-hmm. So
well, you've crossed over from newsletters into blogging as well, so that it's
there's too much. I can't
keep
up.
There's a lot now. It's not like a newsletter used to be how it was done. Now
no,
you have a newsletter and a blog and a Twitter account and a Facebook page. And
here's how it used to work. When I was working at Gargantua Radio down the dial, I basically showed up in the studio, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I filled out a time card and I got a paycheck, all right? There was a website. If I filled out something on the website every month or so, I was pretty happy. I thought I was up to date.
Yeah.
Now it's every week, and I'm writing, you know, an Encyclopedia Britannica entry.
And then you want to be a magazine columnist too? Jeez, man.
And when I do this, when I set all this stuff up for being, you know, and this is, you know, the clown without his makeup here. Okay, I understand that. And some people don't want to know what goes on behind the scenes. They just assume it all happens magically, but it doesn't happen magically, you know, because you got to write the website, and I'm writing commercials too.
Mm-hmm.
And Chief Cook and Bottle Washer here, Mike Novak, LLC.
Yep.
And then putting them in the little book and printing them up. And then when I'm done with all that stuff, it's get on Facebook and let people know what's going on in the show. Get on Twitter, do that. And then when I get home today, it's the podcast and it's the blog.
Yep.
And I don't have time for a newsletter.
Yes, you do.
All right.
Just copy the blog and paste.
No, newsletters are different. They're slightly different.
But
Linda, thank you for the email. We will fix. You're right. IGC is not in April. It is coming up in August. It's August 16th. But here's the thing about IGC. It's the Independent Garden Center show. And it's really for the industry. I always find it hard to talk about those things. Like there's a thing called Mid-Am that happens in January at sometimes McCormick Place and sometimes Navy Pier. And it's also an industry show. Now, everybody in the industry gets real excited and they go, oh, yeah, it's time to talk gardening in January or in August. Like, oh, all the independent garden centers, yeah, they're going to be there. But for the average person, it doesn't mean a whole lot. My job is to, like, I'm supposed to go there and find out all the coolest, latest gadgets and goodies and plants. And then I got to tweet about them and write them on my Facebook and my blog.
Mm-hmm. That's what the smartphone's for. You just do it while you walk down the aisle. It's like, oh, pretty. Tweet.
Yeah, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really mastered the walking and tweeting thing yet.
I'm still working on the walking and bubble gum. So I'm not even going to attempt the smartphone because I just whack.
So, yes, you know, that's a good idea, Linda. I am going to get the newsletter out again soon because I haven't sent it out in a month of Sundays. More than that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right because there's so much going on in the next couple of weeks. Like I said, the dog days used to be about government, you know, when the government didn't do anything. And our government doesn't do anything. And, hey, the credit rating.
The dog's dead.
Yeah, the dog. Our government kicks the dog.
The dog's dead. It's gone rigor.
You know, and
it's
I don't understand it. When my credit rating gets downgraded, okay, the United States went from AAA to AA plus. When I got downgraded, it went from AAA to Q. Now, what's wrong? What's wrong with this picture? What's the difference there between me and the government?
They have more connected friends,
I guess. But they they owe a lot more money than I do.
Yeah, they sure do.
Hey, and I just want to say congratulations to our government, our Congress, and the president. Job well done. You guys pulled it off. You got the downgrade. It really, yeah, it worked.
I'm sorry, I threw open my mouth a little.
I know, really. Just even thinking about the Congress makes me do that. So
let's talk about plants and flowers.
We will do that.
They're wonderful. They're good things.
So as I said, lots going on, and I'm going to start with the homepage of. First, on the show in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about Veggie Fest. You probably heard about that. Because
we've been promoting
Fred Newsom was on Our Town earlier today.
Yes.
He's going to be at Veggie Fest, which is next Saturday in Naperville. And we're going to be talking about that in just a couple of minutes here with Michael. Now, I forgot to ask him how he pronounces his last name. It's spelled R-I-B-E-T, so it's either Ribbit or Ribay.
I bet it's Ribay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Michael Ribay.
Because otherwise it would be Ribbit. So...
I'm sure he suffered Kermit jokes all through adolescence
I feel his pain.
Hey, my last name's Fry. Hi. And how much? And Heather rhymes with a lot. So I feel his pain.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk about Veggie Fest. Of course, Rick DeMaio here at the bottom of the hour. Second hour, we're going to have a real woman on the show. I'm just wondering how
Jerk.
You agree.
Yeah. I was like, that I can't say that. FCC violation, FCC violation. Jerk came out.
Ow.
Yeah.
You kicked me.
Not hard enough.
Yeah, I know. Rebecca Claypool, who's it's the Duluth Trading Company, and they make lots of, they make clothing and they make some other cool stuff that they're doing, and they're based in Wisconsin. And they're doing a competition where they want real women to apply, and they'll get a chance to be a model for their company.
Ah, so they don't want supermodels.
Models need not apply.
Yeah, real women.
No size twos, please. Okay.
Oh, I like her already.
Yeah, I think you will. And Rebecca Claypool, what's cool about her, she's a farmer up in Wisconsin, and she's one of their models right now. And if you go to that website that's on the... MikeNovak.net, this week's show, you'll see a photo of her. And that's their judging panel you're looking at right now.
Right.
It's all these women, real women.
They are.
Yeah. And the contest is...
They're hearty-looking, soulful gals.
It goes until the rest of this week, and you've got until next Saturday. So if you think you want to be a model, and you'll get a shopping spree with some of their stuff, and, of course, a modeling contract for at least one session, I don't know. Whether it's more than one session. So Rebecca Claypool will be on in the second hour. Peggy Salazar, who's the executive director of the Southeast Environmental Task Force, will be here. They're doing another of their Toxics to Treasures tour. It just sounds cool. It's like, and now there's an oil tank, and over there's a pile of coal. Oh, and look, here's plants that are, you know, native plants, and oh, this is a rare one. It grows nowhere else in Illinois, and that kind of thing, you know? It's so we'll talk about that. And then finally, Mary Eisenbach, Director of Conservatories, Chicago Park District. We're going to follow up and see how the Garfield Park Conservatory is doing.
It's in the recovery phases from the hailstorm.
Yeah, 5 weeks ago, and... It's intensive.
Mm.
It's intensive. So she'll be here all on the show today. And why don't we get a hold of Michael? And while we're doing that, let me tell you also, I mentioned some other things, and one of them, well, a couple of them are really, really important. A week from Thursday, there's going to be a fundraiser for the Chicago Recycling Coalition. Now, those of you who live in Chicago know that basically our recycling stinks. And you might have read recently about how Mr. Emanuel is rolling out some plan where he's going to kind of partly privatize. I call it stealth privatization because that's the way it really looks like to me. Stealth privatization where he calls it managed competition where he's going to have, you know, waste management doing some of this stuff. And we know the record of waste management against some city workers and against some other one other company that he's got in it and divide the city into six areas. And in 6 months, we're going to see who was most cost effective. If you want to know more about that stuff, come to our fundraiser. It's only $20. And it's at the Logan Square Kitchen, and Zena Murray's been on the program. Logan Square Kitchen is an awesome place, gold LEED certified building. It's a shared kitchen, and you know the problems shared kitchens have had in Chicago where they get shut down and they get, you know, I talked to Zena and she says the city inspectors, 18 inspections in the last 22 months.
And is that still because the departments aren't communicating with each other
properly? A lot of it, and it's still a mess, and it depends on who... You know, who you get, who you talk to on any given day in the city, and the bureaucracy is entrenched. And, you know, some restaurants get inspected maybe once a year.
Maybe.
And she's got like 18 times in the last 22 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fair. And she doesn't deserve it because it's a beautiful place and it's, you know, you could eat off the floor.
I know, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And so we're doing the Recycle Now fundraiser for Chicago Recycling Coalition. We're going to show this film. It's a documentary called Scrappers about the guys, you know, who drive those trucks up and down the alleys and they
pick up scrap metal. And,
right. Mm-hmm. And it was done by some Chicagoans, and they are going to be there to talk about the film. Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 stars. Whoops. That's me. That's my.
I was going to say.
I went to the website Scrappers and you go there
and the truck starts
and the truck starts.
Yeah,
you know, and that is going to be shown there, and we're going to talk about recycling and we're going to talk about how to fix it. Gosh darn it! And we're going to and you can recycle your electronics. At the same time, I mean, you talk about a deal for $20,
yeah.
bucks, you know?
So, like, what do you mean your electronics? Your old cell phones, your old
yep.
computers?
We've got PC Rebuilders and Recyclers, home of the computers for schools and plan, and they will be there with a truck, and you can bring your e-waste. There's a list of it. If you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, on the homepage, you click on the popcorn box. Because we're going to have popcorn and beer as well. Ugh. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a great event.
You just said beer.
Yeah, it ain't. You know, it's a cash bar, but it goes to a great cause. And then the other thing, and we'll talk about it in a little bit because I got to get Michael on the phone here, is the IGC, as I mentioned, which is not in April. It's actually in August. But a week from tomorrow, you know LaManda Joy, who's been on the show,
oh, yes.
and she's with the Peterson Garden Project. She happens to have a very beautiful garden herself. It's going to be a tweet event in her garden. And all the garden communicators who are coming into town with their cell phones and who can walk and tweet at the same time are going to be there. I'm going to be there. We're live streaming that, video streaming the event in her backyard from 7 to 8 p.m. a week from tomorrow, so that'd be the 15th, and we're going to live stream it and tweet at the same time. It's if you go on for those of you who tweet, not everybody's on Twitter.
It's a 21st century garden party.
It really is a 21st century garden party, and we're going to live stream it not only at the tweet site, but on MikeNovak.net. We will be live streaming this, and I think it's going to be the first stream we do because then I think maybe the week after that we're going to have the cameras here in the studio and start
Wait,
doing
what?
That. You better dress up, sweetie.
What? You
cameras.
Mean I can't roll out of bed? I just have to sound good.
Maybe we'll just point
That's why I like coming here.
Maybe we'll just point it at me. All right. Let us go to line one and bring in Michael. And how is it you pronounce your last name, Michael?
Ribbit.
It is Ribbit. See? Now, come
wow,
on.
Wow, awesome.
It must have been a terrible childhood.
You know, it started when I was about 10 with the Smothers Brothers. So at least I had a few normal years before the... name took on that significance, but I'm used to it.
What's the Smothers Brothers reference?
Oh, they were the ones who started that thing with the frog saying ribbit. Until then, nobody thought of it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. And I was a huge Smothers Brothers fan when I was growing up. Oh, my goodness. My brother and I would reproduce all of their routines.
Except the ribbit, ribbit one.
Obviously, we missed that one.
Yeah,
I'll have to go back and check that out. Well, Michael Ribbit is here on the program. He's director of sponsors, vendors, and demonstrations for Veggie Fest out in Naperville, which is, you're hearing the promos here on WCPT because we're behind it. And you know what? I would call this the Sustainable Food Fundamental part of the show. It's a segment I have, and I usually don't have it in the first hour, but let me just play this.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy.
Now, you wouldn't have salami.
Give it the gravy, Davy.
Better be meatless gravy.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals. Growing good food that's good for the earth.
Catch your Tory, Dory.
And, of course, it's hard to find better food for you than vegetables. And this is, what, your sixth annual event out in Naperville?
That's right. But I do want to point out to you, Mike, that we may not have salami, but we've got a lot of meat substitutes because people who are just starting with the vegetarian diet want those sort of things. Our Caribbean chicken, which obviously is made without real chicken, has been our most popular seller for the last several years. We've got vegetarian corn dogs.
Stop right there. That's the one that got me because, you know, emotionally, I'm 14 years old. You said corn dog. I went, how do you do a vegetarian corn dog?
Well, you start with a veggie hot dog, and the rest should be obvious, right?
There's no meat in pancake batter.
No meat or eggs in the batter, right?
Wow. I like it. And you told me about some of the other stuff that you're going to have there. Go ahead through the list of, you called it vegetarian junk food, and I love the idea of vegetarian junk food.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some of the stuff for the healthy people. We've got organic salad, Oasis, which is a booth with three kinds of organic salads. We've got fresh fruit cup. We've got, what do they call them, the young mangoes, where it's a young coconut, where the coconut is in the, you know, delivered, you know, whole, and then we drill a hole and people drink the juice. So there's a lot of healthy stuff, but there's also pizza and frozen yogurt and mango ice cream and lots of eggless cakes. So we've got lots of options for people who have different priorities. Our priority is to show the community that vegetarian diet can be fun and good-tasting as well as healthy.
And one of the things you're doing that I find fascinating is you're trying to get people to go vegetarian for a week.
Right. We have a new concept this year called the Vegetarian Challenge. And in the Vegetarian Challenge, we're asking people to try the vegetarian diet for a week. A lot of people have started already by pledging on our website to take the challenge. We have about 400 people in that category, but we're expecting over 1,000 more to take the challenge at Veggie Fest and start a week of vegetarian diet to see how much they like it.
Now, you're not just turning them loose because that wouldn't be fair, and people who are used to sneaking off to a fast food meat place need some help, so you're giving them support, aren't you?
Right. We're giving them a goodie bag at Veggie Fest filled with tasty vegetarian items and a cookbook. And we're providing them with email help and an e-recipe of the week to help people get started. There's also a vegetarian nutrition booth at Veggie Fest where they can get a lot more information about going vegetarian for the long term.
We're talking to Michael Ribbett. He's a vegetarian of 42 years.
Correct.
You don't sound a day over 35, Michael.
I wish.
And he's with the Veggie Fest out in Naperville. And by the way, you can get the information for that by going to my website, MikeNovak.net. But why don't you give us your website just to begin, Michael?
Right, and I encourage some of the listeners to go to the website while we're on the air and check out a lot of the features of Veggie Fest that we'll be talking about. It's VeggieFestChicago.com.
Okay, VeggieFestChicago.com, and you'll see that there's – no, I've got .org here. Can you go to .com?
Either one.
All right, great, because I called it up and it – came up .org on the link that I have up there. So
yeah, either one will work.
All right, great. .com or .org. VeggieFestChicago.com, .org. And of course, before I talk about all the good stuff there, you are threatening to become the largest vegetarian festival in North America.
Yeah, we're pushing against our friends up in Toronto who've been doing it for a lot longer. We are today the largest vegetarian festival in the United States, but we're coming up close on the guys up in Toronto. We're within a few thousand, so it's a very friendly contest. We're very happy that they're doing it, but we have a good shot at becoming the largest vegetarian festival
in North America. Yeah, you're thinking maybe 25,000 people will show up, and it's just the one day, right?
It's 2 days.
2 days,
Saturday,
sorry.
Sunday,
thank you.
August 13th and 14th.
Okay.
And we had 22,000 people last year. So, and we've grown every year significantly. So we think 25,000 is a realistic expectation for this year. And I do want to mention, Mike, that admission is free.
That's the best part. Not only is the admission free, but parking free. As I said on my website, sometimes there are advantages to doing things in the suburbs.
Yeah, the Boy Scouts hold one of the parking lots is a $5 parking lot run by the Boy Scouts, and all the proceeds go to them. And for those that are willing to walk about 100 yards, there's a free parking lot as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of stuff. Like any good festival, you've got music, you've got demonstrations, obviously cooking demonstrations. I imagine you have a ton of those.
Yeah, we've got some great cooking demonstrations, including four best-selling authors doing cooking demos, including the very famous in Chicago, Karen Calabrese, who owns and runs Karen's restaurants there. She's now got three, one raw food and two cooked food restaurants. And her book title always gets a chuckle. It's Soak Your Nuts.
He's right. It gets a chuckle,
it
doesn't
does. It? It does. And you know what? I know Karen. I did a TV pilot with her, Little Green Men, a couple of years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so I've eaten at Karen's Raw and Karen's Cooked in the city. Great places. I'm going to pick up a copy of Soak Your Nuts, you know?
Yeah. Many other Chicago vegetarians like to eat at Soul Vegetarian, and they'll be running a food booth and doing a food demonstration.
Uh-huh. And kids are welcome, of course.
Oh, yeah. We've got a great kids area with all sorts of fun games and activities for the kids and a lot of food that's kid-oriented. You know, kids don't have the same kind of sophisticated palate, so we've got pizza, and we've got the vegetarian corn dogs, and ice cream, and french fries, and lots of things that kids are going to enjoy.
Oh, I get it. I get it. See, now, listen in, Heather. This is how you indoctrinate the kids.
Oh, yeah. You brainwash them.
Totally brainwash them.
Oh, yes.
With corn dogs.
Of course.
Oh, we've also got, I should mention for kids, we've got some healthy snow cones made with natural, syrup.
Cool.
It is cool.
Now,
anytime you can, it's kind of sad that you got to get sneaky sometimes. But when you can trick the kids into eating healthy and then making those healthy choices and setting that example as something being fun, it's going to leave the longest impression. And the quicker you teach them to eat healthy and take good care of their bodies and their minds, and the better you're off.
Yeah, but look at why we have to do that, because
Twinkie the Kid and Ronald McDonald are American icons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're brain and the burger, the bizarre,
that
weird,
guy just scares me.
The Burger King guy who's like the scariest promotion ever in the history of food.
Like in your kitchen, or just, I'd grab a baseball bat, I'd freak out. Right?
Yeah, especially because
like weird guy in a mask.
Well, it's not a whole lot different from seeing the Disney characters down at Orlando.
Well,
so.
Orlando, I'm down with Orlando. I like Disney World. I'm sorry.
I know. This is where we agree to disagree.
Yeah. You don't have kids either.
I agree with you. That Burger King guy is a lot scarier than Mickey
Mouse.
Oh, he's
so scary. He just creeps me out.
He is. He's really creepy. But the thing is, you guys and Heather are trying to overcome decades of indoctrination of kids. I mean, we were indoctrinated. You know what was the treat? Now, in my world, it was different. When I was growing up, McDonald's was for Saturday afternoon. You know, you didn't go to McDonald's every day. Are you kidding me?
My son gets a Happy Meal on a treat. Yeah, it's a treat when he gets a Happy Meal.
But maybe a treat should be a delicious vegetable salad with, you know, lots of nutrients and good taste.
It's funny you mention all this. This fruit salad I have with me here for breakfast, my son and I made last night together. And it's delicious, and it's all fruit. And he got to pick the grapes and wash them. And I cut the strawberries, and he got to stir it all up. He's 4 years old.
And you brought one for me, right?
You can have a little.
Okay. Because my breakfast, of course, is raisins and craisins and walnuts. Not walnuts, but almonds. Almonds and usually banana. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's kind of what I go.
Things you can have at Veggie Fest, I'm sure.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got lots of healthy options, lots of fun things for kids. Really, the idea of the food court is to be just a lot of great options and a lot of variety. It's very international. We've got Indian food, Thai food, Chinese food. We've got pizza. We've got Caribbean food. We've got vegetarian sushi. So lots of good choices.
Well, that's all next week, Saturday and Sunday. And it's on the grounds of the Science of Spirituality Meditation Center. That's 4 South 175 Naperville Wheaton Road, Naperville Wheaton Road in Naperville. I put the link to the directions on my website too, so you can have that. But you can always go to the website for Veggie Fest, which is veggiefestchicago.org or .com, and they've got all that information. Fred Newsom from Chicago's Progressive Talk is going to be there next weekend. Say hi. I don't know how they track you down, Michael, but I'm sure you're going to be running around behind the scenes.
I will be, but if anybody wants to say hello, just ask any of the volunteers for Mike, and they'll find me.
And of course, if you're listening to this show, I'd be interested if, you know, send me a message on Facebook or Twitter if you plan to take the veggie challenge, try to go vegetarian for a week. Now, you know, in my life, I got to admit, I'm an omnivore. I like meat. But I don't eat it every day. I mean,
you could take a week.
You know, I could.
I'll do it if you do it.
Ooh. We'll talk about this.
Okay.
Folks, you heard it here first. Mike and Karen are taking the vegetarian challenge.
Well, actually, Heather. But
Heather, sorry.
That's okay.
But Karen's going to join us, too, whoever she is.
I hope so.
Karen Calabrese has already taken the
challenge.
That's
true.
There we go.
She's done the challenge for many, many years. All right. Again, it's a Veggie Fest Naperville next week, Saturday and Sunday. Michael Ribbett, I apologize on behalf of the Smothers Brothers.
I actually have some really good audio for that right now queued up.
Do you really? Did you find it?
No, I found something just as good, if not better.
Should Michael be here?
Sure.
Okay, hold on a second, Michael. Hang on. We're going to play this for your benefit.
I'm sure I'm going to love it.
I hope you're a Linda Ronstadt fan.
I feel so bad, I got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all
the time. The chorus is frogs and they're all saying ribbit.
Ribbit.
Since I left my baby behind, I won't move by you.
Okay, and that's kind of how it goes.
That's how it goes. But only Linda Ronstadt could have a frog chorus behind her and make it sound so beautiful.
She was terrific.
Veggie Fest is terrific. And if you take the challenge, send us a note on Facebook or Twitter, and I encourage Heather and me to take the challenge, too. And if you want to learn more about it, just show up there. Michael, it was a pleasure having you on the program.
Thanks very much, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of your listeners at Veggie Fest next weekend.
Yeah, say hi on behalf of Chicago's Progressive Talk so they know that we're sending a lot of people out there.
And you know you guys are going to be there. You've got a booth at Veggie Fest.
Yes, I know. That's what I was talking about.
Fred Newsom will be there.
And he will be staffing it, and we might even join him.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Take care. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To sleepy eyes, how happy I'd be.
Ribbit. All right. After 50 years as one of Chicagoland's largest and most respected specialty retailers, Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center is closing. And next Saturday, This is just sad. August 13th, it's the final day to take advantage of their store closing sale. Sid's Gift Shop is offering 50% off all purses and fashion accessories in their boutique, plus 50% off garden and home decor. And it's Christmas in July with 60% off Christmas decorations and 70% off artificial trees. In the greenhouse, 60% off their entire stock of tropical houseplants, cactus, succulents, and bonsai. All remaining annual flats, planters, hanging baskets, and color bowls are now 70% off. Over in the garden center, the entire pond department, as we told the firefighters with their koi, go on over there. 50% off everything. All pots, planters, pottery, and gardening tools are 50% off, and most other items are marked at 50% savings. Finally, in the nursery department, all trees, shrubs, ornamental grasses, and perennials are 50% off, and you'll save 70% on all remaining fruit trees and week's rose bushes. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers for at least one more week, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit SIDSOnline.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
If you're looking for the most nourishing soil conditioner, look no further than the cotton picked on the high plains of Texas or the shelves of your local gardening center, your local independent gardening center where they meet in Chicago, not in April, but in August, where you can pick up some cotton burr compost from Back to Nature made from cotton from the high plains of Texas. Why is this Texas cotton so special? Well, the picking method produces a larger amount of cotton burrs, and it's the fleshy cotton burr that's the primary repository of nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, the three macronutrients required by plants. Back to Nature has been composting since 1979, and they are the largest producers of composted cotton burrs in the southwestern United States. Find out more about cotton burr compost and other fine products from Back to Nature at backtonaturecompost.com. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I are both big fans, so give them a try. Back to Nature products are available at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana, Mikey Nursery in Niles, Illinois, Burlington Garden Center in Burlington, Wisconsin. Back to Nature. Life doesn't start with the seed. It starts with the soil. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. It's that time to bring in meteorologist Rick DeMaio. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Hey, you know what? I have one quick question. Hopefully we can get an answer before we finish up. I got a Mother's Day plant. It's a bonsai plant for, I should say, a
bonsai.
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 No,
bonsai.
Not bonsai. Repeat after me. Bonsai.
We get emails.
No. Is that right?
No, we just Dan Costa.
Yeah.
Dan Costa.
Immediately.
Exactly. No, bonsai is what you yell when you jump out of an airplane, and bonsai is the pretty little tree from the Karate Kid.
I think they yelled that because they worried that they're going to land on one of them. Is that it?
I don't know.
But I got it from my mother for Mother's Day, and all of a sudden the leaves are beginning to fall off. Any ideas on how to fix that?
Oh, well, what kind of bonsai is it?
Oh, God.
See, that's the problem. You need to. Here's the deal with. Okay, if the leaves are falling off,
right. I mean, it sounds like it's a general question, right?
It is kind of a general question, but you know what?
If people have general questions, they can call us at 773-838-9278.
And Rick DeMille will answer all of them.
And especially if they're weather-related.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but here's the deal with Bonesai.
It's raining. What's that?
With, you know, and I've actually learned some things from Dan Costa over the years and have grown a couple of Bonesai plants and killed a couple of Bonesai plants. So, you know, I know. Hey, listen, I've killed orchids, too. I dropped a table on an orchid once. So
you dropped a table on an orchid?
Yeah, I did.
As long as it wasn't an orphan, fine.
No, it was an orchid.
Okay.
What is this,
Work Team
Sunday?
You know, and again, it depends on a lot of things. You know, where are you keeping the plant right now? Indoors or out?
Well, it's inside, and I got a feeling that part of the reason why my mother likes to keep her house very dark. I don't know why she does this. It kills me because I'm totally the opposite. You think that has something to do with just more light?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things is the plant. You grow them outside. They're trees. You know.
Right. The problem, Mike, is she transports it from the mountains in Pennsylvania to the savannas of Florida. So.
And you're taking care of it. Why?
No. She has it.
Oh, she has it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it needs to have lots of light.
Okay.
In the summer, it would be great if it's outdoors.
Okay.
And because it's a tiny little root system, you can't give up on the watering. You know, it's if you miss a couple, you know, chances are you're not going to get it to recover. Now,
right.
It's possible that it's reacting to low light levels and shedding leaves because it hasn't had enough energy.
That's probably because she keeps it under a skylight, but she always keeps the shade because she doesn't want to have too much heat coming into the house.
Yeah.
My mother cannot handle high heat and humidity. And even when I was up there, they had the air conditioner on. It drove me nuts. It was like too cool in the house. But I don't think the coolness is anything. I think it's the light more than anything. So basically, I just have to tell her to, or maybe you can email me an expert and I can have her call them and then they can give her a little bit more information.
Well, I can always talk to my buddy Dan. And,
okay.
And the question I would ask is what kind of plant it is. If you can find out what kind of plant it is, that's going to be very helpful because, you know, one of the things he's taught me is that if you get these junipers that a lot of the bonsai people like to sell, and not the real bonsai people, but, you know, the let's make a quick buck bonsai people, they're instantly dead. And it's because they're hard to maintain and they're just not the best plants for everybody.
Mm.
But if it's something a little more sophisticated,
right.
It's possible that it's just got a light problem or she missed a watering period.
Well,
or
my mother likes to talk to her plants, and maybe if she's saying bonsai to it, maybe that's the reason why.
I think the plant's insulted, actually. Yeah, I really do. that might be it. But I'll tell you what, it would really help if I knew what kind of plant we're dealing with and what exactly how, you know, and like any plant, you can't water it on your schedule. You got to water it on the plant schedule.
Right, right.
Whether that means too much or too little. I mean, sometimes people kill plants with kindness. So,
but she's pretty good with the plants, especially her silk flowers.
Yeah.
Anyway, so weather, there's a lot of thunderstorms moving into here. I don't know if you can see it from your little cubby hole down there in Cicero Avenue, but pretty dark out to the west.
And you mean do I need to run out and close the windows of my car?
Yeah.
Heather, yeah.
Give me keys.
Okay.
Yeah, this stuff is probably going to reach your neck of the woods in about, I'd say, 15 minutes.
Ah.
Whoa! Get out there.
Bye-bye.
She'll be right back.
Yeah, good thing you called me, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's all the time we have. See ya.
No, this is a line of thunderstorms that extends from about, I'd say, Libertyville, a little bit more intense once you get to about, like, say, Elk Grove Village. Around Barrington, there's a couple of cells popping up, maybe producing 50 mile per hour wind gusts. But the heaviest stuff down around southeastern DuPage County, western Will County. Wouldn't be surprised, maybe an oddball 60 mile per hour wind gust. And if anybody's listening on their boat in Lake Michigan, there's a special marine warning out. So be on guard for that. But, Mike, this is just the leading edge of what appears to be a growing concern for the possibility of some severe weather by late this afternoon. And, you know, we have day three of Lollapalooza. And
wow, that's right.
This could be a little bit nasty because this is the type of activity that when it comes through, These types of thunderstorms are going to be very, very wind-generating, very strong winds. I wouldn't be surprised if the winds that come through the storms this afternoon are probably 60, 70, even 75 miles per hour. It's a very fast-moving system, and interestingly enough, the pattern, and I mentioned this last week, is beginning to change. And the beginning of a changing pattern is always the most difficult to predict. So about 2 or 3 days ago, it looked like we were beginning to see this, and all of a sudden by Friday, we're like, whoa, I guess the pattern is definitely changing. And, Mike, I'll put my money on the table right now. I predict that we will not have another 90-degree day in Chicago for another 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's going back to believe it or not, what we had in June, where all the cool air across southeast Canada is being pushed southward by, again, what we call this Greenland block, this large mass of very, very warm air in the upper levels of the atmosphere from Greenland up into the Arctic, and it's pushing that part of the cold air southward. And the jet stream that has been pushing through parts of Oregon and Washington and northern Montana, remember they had all that late rain in June and early July, all that flooding? That actually enhanced the heat that we had here, because that jet stream then carries these small pockets of hot air over the southern plains northward. Now that jet stream is beginning to push a little bit further southward, so the heat's going to remain across the deep south, but we're going to, I think, see much more in the way of cloudy weather, much more in the way of cooler and wetter weather, probably not beginning this week, but definitely by the end of this weekend, or I should say the end of this next work week. Temperatures primarily probably in the 70s and a couple of chances of some heavy rain events as well. So if you don't like the heat and humidity, I think yesterday or at least a couple of days ago is the last few days of that. Today, storms in the morning, a little bit of sunshine, and storms approach again this afternoon. And then I think the rest of the week kind of on the a temper set. I know you like to wait for the forecast for the end of the show, but what this means is that the pattern that's developing across the United States, all it's doing is it's shifting about 250 miles to the south of us, and it's the same pattern that basically existed now for about almost 3 months.
That's fascinating because, well, and I heard the other day that, Texas has had like 36 days in a row over 100 degrees.
It's amazing, Mike, because we all like to look at numbers and try to quantify them and simulate them to past events. The heat wave in 1980 produced 69 days above 100. 42 days in a row above 100 in North Texas. So far, this event, I think they're up to 43 days or 45 days above 100, and 36 in a row. But what's more interesting, and I think we keep seeing these numbers more and more because this has been a very, very humid spring and a very humid summer. In fact, I think it went down as one of the most humid summers ever for parts of Iowa, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, and even northern sections of Illinois. But in the month of July in Dallas, they only set one afternoon high temperature record. But for the mornings, they set 8 temperature records where the overnight low was the warmest ever. And that shows you that sometimes you don't need an afternoon high to show you how extreme the heat is. If the morning low doesn't get below 90 degrees, that tells you that your air conditioner is running even longer than it would if you had, honey, I think we can shut it off or put it on low. I mean, these poor people have the air conditioner on basically 24 hours a day.
Yes,
and
they do.
And I think we've seen that more and more. And the odd thing about it is even though Texas is in a drought, the fact that we've still had such high humidity equates to the fact that we had such extreme rain events in during the summertime. So it definitely is going down as a summer of extremes, without a doubt.
We've gotten several tweets in here in response to your stuff. One is, My Skinny Garden writes that it's pouring rain in Forest Park now.
it'll pass in about a half hour.
And then what? And the storms, the whole thing, and then we're done with storms for the day? Or no, you said storms later on, so what time?
Right.
Wants to know what time.
The stuff that comes through this afternoon probably won't be until about, say, 3 or 4. So we have about a four-hour window between the stuff this morning and the stuff this afternoon. I wouldn't be surprised by the end of your show today. It's completely sunny out.
And then somebody, I love that this is, Carrie wanted to know, what was the song we played intro to Rick DeMaio? And of course,
what was that?
It was Know You Girls by Franz Ferdinand.
It's a great song.
It's a jam.
It's Kiss Me With Your Cigarette.
Yeah, flick your cigarette.
Flicker
your
cigarette.
Wow.
But
Hopefully it's out before you do that.
Well, yeah, well. I was thinking this is, you know, perfect thing coming out of Veggie Fest. Have a,
right, yeah.
have a veggie corn dog
have
and
a really
cigarette.
Good
yeah.
meal and then stuff yourself full of carcinogens.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. And I have a surprise for you, Rick.
Yeah, what's that?
Okay, I'm going to line two. Let's bring in Mr. Bonsai himself, Dan Costa. How are you, Dan?
Hello, Mike. I heard my name being bantered around.
Yeah, well, used in vain. Did you have some advice for Rick here on the Bonsai?
Well, basically, I concur with what you said about getting a lot more light on that plant and watching the water. Sounds like if it's by a skylight, usually the in the ceiling, by the time the light reaches the plant, it is gone down in intensity so much that the plant hardly even knows the skylight is there. So it really needs to be like in a window where it can get the good light from outdoors, or put it outside for the rest of the season. That would do it a whole lot of good. Depending on what kind of tree it is, it might need to stay out during the entire year, or if it's a tropical, come back in when about the middle or end of September. But giving it more light and keeping it watered.
Any tips on how to transport something like that from in a car over a 2-day trip down to Florida?
I couldn't.
Oh, he wanted to know: are there any tips on how to transport it in a 2-day trip in a car from down to Florida?
I would keep it like in the back between the seats.
Oh, okay.
And keep it out of the sun, so don't park in a blazing hot parking lot as much if possible. But keep the sun off it because heat in the car builds up really fast, and the sun going through the glass can just fry a plant.
So we've learned that this summer, do not leave your pets, your kids, or your bonsai in the back seat of a car in the heat.
Mm-hmm. Right, and also the correct way of saying it as well. I've learned that.
Yep.
Bonsai. Bonsai, right, Dan?
Yes, bonsai.
Woo-hoo! Bonsai, not bonsai. Okay, I got that part. hey, Mike, a couple of...
Dan, thank you so much, buddy. It's great to hear from you. Appreciate the tip.
Anytime.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Rick, let me before we get to this, let me take care of business real quick, and we'll get again that forecast and the prediction.
Yeah, a couple of things that as well on a new climate normal.
A new climate normal. I know you sent me some stuff, and I did not have time to look at it, but
okay.
You can tell me about it, okay?
Yes.
All right. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. We'll be right back with Mr. DeMaio. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. We're getting to the best time of year to plant a lawn. And you heard the little diatribe about lawns at the beginning of the show, if you were listening. We'll do I got a second diatribe at the beginning of the second hour. It's not me, but you'll hear it. But do you know that lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other? Studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. This is just one of the reasons why you don't want to plant your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree. Another reason is something we call lawnmower blight. That's bumping your mower into your tree, which, believe it or not, can eventually kill it. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
Thank you, Melinda Myers. Let's go back to Rick DeMille. You were saying, sir, and we've got about 3 minutes here.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying you were saying before you were so rudely interrupted by me.
Well, we can get into the normals another time, but it's interesting when these normals came out about 2 weeks ago when you kind of surf all the different National Service or National Weather Service offices across the country. Everybody is kind of doing these reports on what these new normals mean for them.
And let me very briefly explain that the latest 30-year normal just came out. So now the temperature, the new normal is between 1980 and 2010, whereas the old normal was between 1970 and 2000.
Right. So what happened is we've gotten rid of the 70s, which was a very cold period. And the normals for Chicago are now about a half degree above normal for the year. But when you look at the normals, per month, the normals are actually going up almost 0.8 of a degree for the month of January, because we really haven't had a lot of super-duper cold weather. The normals show that we've had about 6/10 to 7/10 of an inch more rain, but we've also had about 1.5 inches less snow. So what I was saying, I think, a couple of weeks ago is now when you start to compare some of these numbers, you're not comparing them to old normals. You're comparing them to normals that are actually warmer. So a temperature, say, of 5.5 degrees above normal for the old normals may only be about 5 degrees above normal, which is, I think, kind of interesting. Barring that, one little tidbit here before we get going, the water temperature in Lake Michigan along the shoreline reached 80 degrees yesterday, which is really amazing considering, if you remember, Mike, we entered the spring on a very, very cloudy and cool note, and we had water temperatures that were almost the seventh coolest in like 100 years. But it's always amazing how that top layer of water manages to get fairly warm. A couple of days ago, I went swimming in the lake, and we had a west wind, and sure enough, all that warm water blew out into the middle of the lake. We had some upwelling, and some 60-degree water was all of a sudden present along the shoreline. One final note here. National Hurricane Center has actually upgraded their outlook from 11 to 13 storms to 12 to 15 based on the fact that temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico and the Southeast Atlantic are also about 2 degrees above normal. So even though we've had a very, very quiet start to the season, the peak season or the peak time of the season is really right around that first and second week of September. So sometimes people go, wait, it's August and we haven't had any storms. I always remind people, 1992, the first storm of the season, August 24th, was Hurricane Andrew.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. Rick DeMille, thank you so much. We'll talk next week, buddy. And it's going to get cooler. No more 90s for 3 weeks. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. And enjoy some of the reprieve from the hot, sticky stuff.
Will do. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And coming up, a real woman on the show in the next hour. Hope you stick around for that.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with a loser in the cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat. So it came seen, I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. You get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your fruit stamps.
And the scary part is that Heather's here singing along
with
it.
Oh, I know this word for word. I remember when this song was brand spanking new.
I understand he won't. This is Beck, by the way, and I understand he won't even perform this anymore.
He will not perform it
anymore. I got to tell you something. I've heard about artists doing that throughout my whole life, where something becomes really popular and they say, I'm never performing that again because it always gets asked. I remember Todd Rundgren would never do Hello, It's Me, because that was a huge popular song back in the early 70s, mm-hmm. and then he wouldn't do it. And my feeling is, oh, okay, I get it. It made you a millionaire,
right.
and now
put
you're
you on the map.
And
yeah.
your fans well, want it, and you, so you won't do it anymore.
Jimmy
Thanks,
Buffett
loser.
Has songs that, Jimmy Buffett's the complete opposite. He's like, I have to play these particular songs. It's like, play or die. Because if I don't play, you know, Margaritaville and, you know, Cheeseburger in Paradise and the songs that, you know, he's known for,
exactly.
they'll kill me. They will rush the stage and kill me. It's
What's
like play
the
or
point?
Die.
If I go to see Jimmy Buffett and he doesn't do...
But the same thing, Mark Knopfler doesn't do any of the old Dire Straits songs, like the early ones, you know, like he doesn't sing those anymore.
Slightly different, okay? I think because he's an artist.
But that's what Beck's trying to be by
well,
not playing
Beck's,
loser.
He's kind of a...
He's a Scientologist, like...
Oh, is he really?
Oh, yeah. I think his dad was one of the guys that helped invent it. I don't know. I read something on that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But, yeah, flowers.
I didn't play the Lawns Are Evil Part 2. I'm going to play it in a little bit. So we will do that because, first of all, I want to go to line one and bring in, as I said, a real woman, Rebecca Claypool. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. Rebecca is... It's Well, she's a farmer. She's a model. You know, those two don't necessarily go hand in hand, do they, Rebecca?
Well, they do if you're a real Duluth trading model.
Duluth Trading Company that makers of just all kinds of interesting stuff, but designed by workers, you know, tradesmen tested and approved. They started off in the early 90s doing this with men and then kind of dragged women into it because they realized, hey, you know what? Women work too, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah, they use, they have a really successful women's line of work clothing, and then they use real women to model that work clothing in their catalogs and online.
And you're one of them.
I am. I'm lucky enough to be one of them.
But you and your husband operate Yellow Barn Farm.
Yes.
In Avoca, or is it Avoca? Is it Avoca?
No, it's Avoca, Wisconsin.
Avoca, right. Wisconsin, just west of Spring Green.
Right.
How do you deal with all the tourists over there? That must drive you crazy.
it's lovely, actually.
You got a CSA. You use organic techniques, even though you're not certified just yet.
Right. My land is transitioning, but I follow organic practices, and I have a CSA this year. This is the first year. And I'm also doing farmers markets. Last year, I just did a few farmers markets, and this year I'm... slowly growing.
And where did you're an agroecology grad. Where did you study?
I did. I did the agroecology program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I finished that in 2009, that winter.
Mm-hmm. So this is relatively new for
it
you.
It is. I've been farming for years, pretty much since I graduated from my undergrad, and was able to work on lots of different farms all around and then get my graduate degree, and now I have my own farm.
Congratulations to you, and congratulations on both. So I got to ask you, how did you end up being a model?
Well, it's funny, actually. The people who I bought the farm from, Ina is one of the Real Duluth women models as well. And so she ended up introducing me to the Duluth team, and it just worked out. And so I've been doing it ever since then.
Well, did you get spotted by...
Ina, the person I bought the farm from, she was my spotter. So she got in touch and said, "Hey, I think Rebecca would be a great Duluth model," and it worked out. We both have really hands-on kind of jobs. They were landscapers and perennial growers, and I was doing the farming and have really active outdoor jobs where we need functional gear.
I have to ask you, if the women are real in the ads, are the men or are those the models?
The men are all illustrations.
Oh, gee.
It's about time.
So the I like the idea that the men are just cartoon characters. The men are cartoon characters and the women are real. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
All right. I'm going to open this up because I know I only have you for a short time. But we are getting toward the, well, I want people who have been growing vegetables, if they got any questions about them, 773-838-9278. Rebecca, she does it for a living.
I'll see if I can help.
And see if you can help. What kind of stuff are you growing?
I'm growing a large variety of produce this summer, but pretty much what's coming out right now are tomatoes are starting, and summer squash, of course, with zucchini.
All right, I got a summer squash question, because we've been growing it in the community garden. And, gosh, we had squash vine borer. And it took out pretty much, and Dan Costa, who's listening, he's my buddy who was on a little earlier. He's a bonsai expert, and he's also a horticulturist. And his advice is always, don't plant your squash until July 1st, for crying out loud, because the borer's gone by then.
Yes.
Is that what you guys do?
I did. I planted my squash a little bit later. I did. And then I plant multiple successions of it.
Right. So would it be too late to get any fruit out of a squash vine right now?
I think it might be a little late to plant right now.
Yeah. Yep. We got one left, one that's really healthy and happy, so I assume that one's going to make it.
Yeah, it will. And then usually once you get it alive and everything, it's going to be prolific and productive for you.
Well, we've got several kinds. I mean, it was the summer squash that really took the hit.
Oh, I see.
Our zucchinis are fine. Cucumbers look great.
Great.
We had four summer squash plants and three of them bit the dust.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize until this year that you could slit open the vine and pull that little worm out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a big operation like yours, I'm sure you don't handle it that way. But then if you plant after July 1st, you don't have that problem.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the answer. It's like, you know, people want to know what to do with insects. The answer is to know the life cycle of an insect.
Yeah.
If you know the life cycle, you can control it. You can work around it. Not always.
Right.
I mean, you know, I got Davis on the line there. And Dave, we're going to get to you in a sec. Hang on. He's wondering if he's got Japanese beetle.
Oh.
Do you have any problems with Japanese beetle up your way?
I do, actually. It's been eating a lot of my basil.
Ah. Now, what are you doing? Because you're organic. What do you do to deal with Japanese beetle on basil?
You know, I just plant a lot of it. Kind of
that's true. That's a really good idea. Just plant a lot of it and just they can't possibly eat it all.
Right. I don't know of any types of organic sprays that you can use against it.
No.
One of the most effective things probably would be is a floating row cover to keep it out of there. So something like Rime, that's the product name for it. But if you can't be covering whatever it is you're trying to keep the beetle off of, it's just working with it, in the case of the basil, just plant a lot of basil. And I move it around in different places on the farm.
Explain what a floating row cover is.
Yeah, it's like a thin sheet almost, and it lets the sun and the rain in, so you don't have to take it on and off in order to water. But it will keep the bugs out, basically, but moisture and sun in.
And why wouldn't you just use it anyway?
Well, I do use it in the spring a lot of the time. For some crops, you need to take it off to allow for pollination.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, because if you're keeping the Japanese beetles out of there, you're keeping everything out of there.
Right, exactly. And so I use it a lot in the spring and fall, and you can also use it to... in the early and late stages of the season to protect against frost. So to carry things a little later in the season and to get things in a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's, why not? Because he's on the line. I'm not going to make him hold forever. And let's go to Dave from Hoffman Estates. Dave, you're on the Mike Novak Show. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I didn't realize you had the guest there because I was just curious. Have you heard of the beetle eating up on the... All my leaves on my birch tree in the back, and it's also been working on the raspberries. But my basil, the plant I got, it hasn't gotten to that yet. But this is the first time in all the years I've lived there seeing that. And I'm assuming it's a Japanese beetle because it's got like that bluish green irradiated back, and then kind of the brown they're on his side, but it the leaves on that birch tree then just totally, you know, been eating all of the green off of it.
I think birch trees are their favorite.
I'm having a hard time hearing her.
Okay, she says she thinks birch trees are their favorite. I always thought that they kind of went for lindens. There's a number of trees that the Japanese beetles like. You know, the problem with the tree, Dave, is that if it's a mature tree, there's really not a whole lot you can do.
Right.
I can't put it on roll cover. It's way too tall. And
right.
Like, I'm just curious. Is it going to harm the tree? You know, that now that all of it, and add no chlorophyll there, that will the tree survive?
Well, here's the thing about a Japanese beetle. I don't think that in terms of a tree, it's going to be as destructive as, say, a gypsy moth, which can completely defoliate a tree. The Japanese beetle, chances are it's going to do some damage, but the tree will bounce back. You know, it's going to look tattered this year. But unless it completely defoliates it, it's probably going to come back. And the thing is about Japanese beetle populations is that they vary from year to year. So it's possible that we got a tough one this year and that next year won't be as bad.
I've never used none of the, you know, like the insecticides or nothing like that. So I don't know. I just got to tough it out, I guess.
By the way, I was looking here, you'll be happy to know, Dave, that birch is among the Japanese beetles' favorite foods, as Rebecca said.
Oh, very good. it's odd, though, that, like I say, all the years, I've been there like 25-plus years. That's the first time I ever seen them.
You've been lucky. And again, they also like crabapple, apple, plum, cherry, pin oak, and Japanese maples. I also know they happen to like lindens. I've seen that also. You know, it's if you're really concerned about the tree, the best thing you do is call an arborist or you go to your extension service and have them take a look at it. If this is the first time, it's probably going to withstand the attack, especially if it's not completely defoliated, and I have a sense that it won't be. And, of course, the Japanese beetles are going to be gone real soon. That's the other thing. They have a lifespan of a few weeks, or the beetle, and then they start laying eggs, so they can do it again next year. So, Dave, I'd say for right now, you know, if you have serious problems, contact an arborist or contact your extension service. But my feeling is right at this point, probably the tree will survive. And then you got to see next year, whether you get the same attack on the tree. And if you don't, you're going to be okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Thanks to your guest also.
All right.
Just picked you guys up, you know, and I got to thinking about the, I had to beetle, I happened to look, and there's like about 4, 5, 6, 7 of them on one leaf alone, and I looked and they're totally eating all of the chlorophyll off of it. But let me clear off so some other people who can get in.
All right, appreciate it, Dave. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Talking to Rebecca Claypool, and she is a farmer up in Wisconsin and a real woman. And Heather has just been sitting here. My producer Heather is. She's already smacked me a couple of times. So, I got to ask you. So, when you go into tell me about your modeling experience for Duluth, what we're talking about is Duluth Trading Company, which makes all kinds of products. I mean, tools and clothing, and some of them are especially for workers, and that's the whole idea is that, for instance, they have those T-shirts. That's kind of their stock and trade there, the long tail tee.
Exactly.
So that you can bend down and not have certain parts exposed kind of thing,
Exactly.
I keep thinking of Dan Aykroyd on Saturday Night Live.
Good. And no one wants that. No one wants that.
Yeah, nobody wants that. But what was it like going in there? Because I'll bet you found that modeling is a lot harder than you thought it was.
It is, actually, yeah. Well, they come to me, which is lovely. So they usually come out to the farm and bring the clothing or gear that they need shots of, and we get, all set up and ready, and then they just take pictures of me doing what I would normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So harvesting or taking T-posts out or...
So they let you actually do your job and they just...
They do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
It's crazy. Except,
no, they let you do your job, except they've got these reflectors there, right, and extra lights.
No, we really work mostly with Mother Nature, so there's not a lot of, too much going on with lighting set up and everything like that. We use a reflector here and there to make sure we're not getting too much contrasting or shadows, but for the most part, it's quite simple. It's very natural, and we're just doing what comes, normal to my day.
Okay, we got a tomato question that came in.
Oh, sure.
All right. Snappy J Dog is one of our tweeters here, writes, why are my tomato plants so small? They look healthy. They're just tiny for this time of year. You got any solution on that?
That just sounds like there's not enough nutrients and water, I would suspect, potentially that they just need more of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would
have said nutrients myself.
Yeah.
Because they're heavy feeders.
They are heavy feeders, and they should be big and large. And if they are not having a lot of foliar growth, I would think that there's some nitrogen deficiencies. And then, is it flowering? I wonder.
I don't know. I assume it's flowering. If it's not flowering,
they were started in peat pots in March and planted out in late May, and some of the plants are still less than a foot tall.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you one thing. Snappy J, is that putting stuff out in May this year was bad because the cold weather came and it set back some plants. And sometimes they just don't recover.
Right. Especially if they're lacking nutrients, too. It's like a double whammy.
Yeah. So, what you might do is give them a shot of, fish fertilizer.
Exactly.
Get some nutrients going in there. And, and it's not too late to get some production out of there. Compost. Around
compost,
them?
Exactly. I would say side dress with some sort of compost or natural fertilizer and do a foliar spray and see if we can get some growth happening.
Before I let you go, we got to get to the contest real quick.
Yes.
Because and you have until next Saturday, if you're a real woman and you want to be part of this, I've got the link to the page at MikeNovak.net, and the winner is going to get they're going to get a shopping spree with Duluth Trading and of course the modeling gig.
Exactly. So they're looking for a new real woman model to model their work clothing, and you can go online at duluthtrading.com, and if you click on the real woman tab, the Duluth Real Woman tab, that will take you right to the application process.
Right. It's duluthtrading.com, or again, I've got the link again on mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. And they say it's real simple. You just fill out a questionnaire.
Yeah.
And then send some photos. And you got to send recent photos, nothing fancy.
Yep, not doing what you do normally, your hard work.
They're just looking for JPEG files, and they're going to need a close-up as well. Now, okay, and I have to go down this road. Because I've been thinking about it ever since I knew I was going to be talking to you.
What's that?
Real women come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, I'm assuming you're not going to have any, we were talking earlier, I'm assuming you're not going to have any size 2s there, all right? Maybe you will. But can you deal with a size 12,
Oh, certainly. The models come in all shapes and sizes.
I mean, that's, and I looked at your crew who does the judging.
Mm-hmm.
They're all real women. They're across the board,
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is, I don't want women who listen to this to be discouraged because they say, oh, well, I'm I'd never be in Vogue. Well, you don't want Vogue people.
Exactly. We want real people.
Yeah.
So don't be discouraged. Apply.
Okay. That's the word from a real woman, a real model, Rebecca, and a real farmer. Rebecca Claypool. All right, the very last thing.
Yes.
People are starting their fall gardens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at some things that you can plant for fall, like beets, kale, cilantro, lettuce, peas, radish.
Spinach,
Swiss chard, because I am the chard overlord for Chicago. I don't know if you realize that.
No, I didn't, but I love Swiss chard.
Swiss chard is great stuff. What else? Anything else you'd recommend to throw in that list?
Maybe some broccoli rabe, if people have ever tried that.
Broccoli rabe?
Yeah.
What's broccoli rabe?
It's kind of like broccolini.
Broccolini, what's that?
It's in the broccoli family, and
of
it
course.
Grows up, and it looks like a little mini broccoli, but it has a lot more leaves, and you just kind of cut the whole plant with the stalk with the little tiny broccoli florette and the leaves with it, and you can cook with all of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. Lovely.
So I think I'm going to look for some of those seeds, because this is the time in August, and people don't think in this way, but you got to start thinking, you got to start timing back from the average fall frost.
Exactly.
And you can cover things too. You can you can extend your gardening season. Do you do that in your on your farm?
Oh yeah, I do. I will. I'll pull out that Rimae like I was talking about, and try to keep some lettuce and other things going a little bit later for me.
Mm-hmm. And if folks want to do that, do you recommend? Because this is tricky. With some plants, they don't like the hotter weather. But now, of course, my meteorologist Rick DeMaio said he's not. He doesn't expect any 90s in the next 3 weeks.
Wow, that's nice.
So I would think that means at this point, direct sowing is probably going to be a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. If you're interested in getting some fall crops, this is the time to direct seed them.
So direct seed them rather than plant them indoors and bring them out, because I would, if we were going into a heat wave, that might not be the best idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. You can still transplant out head lettuce and things like that. You know, I would say keep doing that if that's how you tend to grow. But direct seeding in like little rows of salad mix for mm-hmm. your own home use, it's a great time to do that. You can do it every 2 weeks to help keep a little succession going for yourself.
And starting now, there's no reason why you can't get out in your garden. I mean, this is for all the folks who go, well, gee, I never think about that for the fall crops. Now's the time,
right? I know it feels so early to be thinking about fall, but it is the time.
Yeah, and get those seedlings going, and then in a month, you're going to be really happy mm-hmm. that you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Great advice. Thank you, Rebecca Claypool. Again, go to my website, mikenovak.net, or you can go to duluthtrading.com. And if you are a hardworking woman and you think you're going to look good in a T-shirt... Not a wet T-shirt, just a T-shirt, or jeans, or other clothing. What other kinds do they have you modeling?
Oh, we do everything. I do overalls and shorts and boots and raincoats and vests and outer gear, you name it.
And if you think you are the person for that, you should log on, because it's real easy to enter, and you might just be the one who ends up being the next... Real woman model.
Yes, it's a lot of fun.
All right, Rebecca, I think we should talk again sometime. I'd love to have you back on the show.
That'd be great. I'd love it.
Because we can talk farming. I do a lot of talking about farming and urban agriculture and gardening here, and it sounds like you got quite a bit of experience.
Well, thank you. It was lovely to be here today.
All right, you take care. Have a great Sunday now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. That sounds like fun.
That sounds really fun. And I went to their website, and yeah, they're a variety of just great people for the models. They had a veterinarian, a researcher, the farmer, and, you know, all sorts of women who have different roles in the agricultural scene, if you will.
The movie star, the millionaire,
yeah,
the
exactly,
professor and Marianne.
Exactly. All here.
Cool. All right. We are going to get to the South. We're going to head to the South Side. Peggy Salazar, Executive Director, Southeast Environmental Task Force. Hang on.
You're getting Twitter chastisation or there. Dude, you don't know about broccoli Rob Rapini? And you call yourself a gardener?
All right. No, I don't. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
And then Leah says that broccoli, how do you say it, Rob, on pizza is nummy.
Even Leah says that. So maybe Leah should be the...
Maybe she should fill in for me when I go out of town.
And I'll be the producer and say, I don't know. I don't know. I'm new to this veggie thing, really.
Hey, before meeting you, I killed plants. Now that I've known you, I've kept them alive, so it says something.
See? I'm not that bad. And besides, okay, I'll tell you something about this job. Hey, you want to know about this job?
No, you have a commercial to read because we're running out of time and we got your next guest.
You want to know about this job? Okay.
We got your next guest because we want to hear about toxics and to treasures and not you complaining.
I'll complain at the end of the show.
When the mic's off.
I'll give you something to cry about.
He's highly distractible, folks.
That's why I don't know about rapini. Because I'm highly distractible. I was just getting to the rapini part of class, and I got distracted. Oh, a butterfly.
Oh, look, something shiny.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go further off track, read your commercial.
That's
you?
What I was going to do. That's why I was trying to do this. I'm gathering myself.
Yes.
Okay. After 50 years as one of Chicagoland's largest and most respected specialty retailers, Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center is closing. And next Saturday, August 13th, is a final day to take advantage of their store closing sale. Sid's Gift Shop is offering 50% of all purses and fashion accessories in their boutique, plus 50% off. You're going to hear like 50, 50, 70, 60. Everything is got, as they say, everything must go. Say that for me, Heather.
Everything must go.
Thank you, Heather. In the greenhouse, 60% on house plants, cactus, succulents, bonsai. Annual flats, planters, hanging baskets, color bowls, 70% off. In the pond department, 50% off. Pots, planters, pottery, and gardening tools, 50% off. Most other items are marked at 50%. You know, maybe, no, I was going to say maybe you can haggle with them, but let's just, I'd say if you get 70% off, you're getting doing pretty well. Nursery department, trees and shrubs, ornamental grasses, perennials, 50% off, and 70% on all remaining fruit trees and week's rose bushes. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier centers, garden centers, are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit SIDSonline.com.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
I saw fireworks from the freeway and behind closed eyes. I can't make them go away because you were born on the 4th of July. Freedom ring, well, something on the surface, it stinks. I see something on the surface, well, it kind of makes me nervous. Who say that you deserve this and what kind of God would serve this? We will cure this dirty old disease. Well, if you got the poison, I've got the remedy is the experience. This is a
day. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Heather knows all the words to this one, too. She just goes on and on. That's okay.
I'm a music fan.
You are the music gal. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I just like music. I have to admit, I'm not a collector. I hear stuff I like. I go, huh, I like that. Okay.
I have a whole side room dedicated to CDs and vinyl. It's a little room in my apartment, and that's all that's in it.
Well, I should hand over some of my vinyl. My vinyl's no good.
Yeah, I'll give it a good home if you don't want it.
All right. I'll look at some of my vinyl and see most of it's scratchy or water damaged.
Then they become decorations.
If they're
scratched beyond, you know, belief, you can either make them into wall art, or there's a technique that you can melt them and make them into like little bowls,
mm-hmm.
like little for, you know, your keys or tchotchkes or whatever. But they look pretty cool.
Let us go to line two and bring in Peggy Salazar, Executive Director, Southeast Environmental Task Force. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
So you guys are getting ready to do another tour, huh?
Yes, we are. This tour is going to be a little different from our standard Toxics of Treasures because we're going to be focusing on energy production in the Calumet region. So we're going to be going everywhere from Whiting, Indiana, which is right over the border for us, right maybe 10, 15 minutes away from where we are,
right.
All the way to West Pullman. So we're going to be showing quite a bit because we believe people don't know where their energy comes from. They flick a switch, they turn a key in ignition, and they don't give a thought as to how that energy gets there.
Well, you know, we all know now that all of our energy comes from the southeast side of Chicago.
Well, not all of it, but pretty much quite a bit does. So that's why we're very anxious to show this, promote this, because we want people to understand especially now that we're trying to focus on green energy. We want them to see what energy of today looks like and perhaps think about what energy of tomorrow can be. So we're trying to make a point of exposing that. But our Talks as a Treasures tours are really about promoting the Southeast Side, because even though we're in the 10th Ward and we're one of the largest wards in the city, most people don't know about us.
Well, they know that you've been the dumping ground for a lot of toxic materials, as you say. I mean, you've got it in the title.
Yeah, that's true. And lately,
okay, and I got to ask you about this because Governor Quinn just signed a law that would put the coal gasification plant on the Southeast Side, and you're the executive director, so what's the story?
Well, we personally don't support that project because our feelings are that, number one, it's not green energy. They're selling it as green energy, but we see it rather as a support mechanism for existing carbon-based energies, because they're going to be using, some of the fuel stock will be pet coke, and pet coke is a waste product of the fuel gasoline industry. So BP Amoco will be passing all their waste products to us, and we will be using them in this project. And so it's going to make it easy for BP Amoco to get rid of that waste. So that's sort of supporting that industry. The other portion of the project will be sequestering the CO2. They say, and they have plans to, now whether it's feasible or not, we don't know, but they plan to sequester the CO2, pipe it all the way down to the Gulf, where it will be used in oil recovery. So once again, making this existing carbon-based industry more possible. So we don't support that, the whole project. And it's a $3 billion project. And the end result is going to mean 150 permanent jobs. So a $3 billion investment for 150 permanent jobs just doesn't make sense to us.
It doesn't make sense to me either. And it's not going to, and you know the price of gas is going to go up. I mean, part of why he didn't sign it in the first place, because he said
that's right. And people, when they say gas, now we're referring to cooking and heating gas, because this is a syngas project.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. The consumers will be shouldering the increase in gas prices to them, because now the gas will be manufactured. And so because of that, it's much more of an expensive process.
I mean, we lose-lose anyway, because people think, well, natural gas, that's a readily accessible resource. But, you know, with fracking, what's the cost of that, too?
Exactly. So that, you know, these things are very hard sometimes to weigh. When we try to make these determinations whether to support something or not, it's sometimes difficult to do because nothing is perfect. And so we try to always support the lesser of the two evils, so to say.
Yeah, but the question I got to ask, why is the Southeast Side always the dumping ground for this? Why is the Southeast Side?
Well, that's a good question. I think lots of times because most people don't, we're not engaged enough to, first of all, I shouldn't even say that because.
You guys have been engaged for 30 years.
Yes, we've been engaged for 30 years, but also we're informed about things at the last minute or not at all. And so it's hard for us sometimes to get into position to decide whether or not we can stop or do something about a situation. So it's very difficult. But we haven't given up. We haven't given up because we definitely don't believe this is the right thing for the Southeast Side or for the consumers who will be forced to pay more for this gas.
Well,
we also would rather see on that same space, because we have plenty of open brown space here, we'd like to see some solar farms or other technologies, and they're not offering that to us.
No. Why? They're offering you coal gasification. I like the idea of a solar farm. Why not that on the Southeast Side instead? Because, you know, and I think part of what they look at is, well, they got the factories there and they got the brownfields there already. Let's just dump another one there. You know,
Sure, of course, and that's part of the problem. But, again, looking at what's better for the planet, we believe a solar farm is a much better energy way to produce energy and position it there than something like this coal gasification. In addition, we have a number of peaker plants on the Southeast Side that don't even operate. So we're just really baffled by this whole energy thing and you know, the motivations for what they do, and it's kind of puzzling at times.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Peggy Salazar, Executive Director of Southeast Environmental Task Force, and part of what you're going to do with your Toxics to Treasures tour, which is next Saturday, right?
Yes, Saturday, August 13th. We will be departing from Club 812, which is a local establishment. Restaurant establishment is a wonderful place because it's on the shores of Wolf Lake, but we will be departing from there at 10 o'clock in the morning. The tour will go for 3 hours because of the distance we have to cover.
Well, wait a second. You just... A three-hour tour.
Yes, exactly.
A three-hour tour.
Exactly. So anyway, because hopefully we return, I'm assuming we will.
Yeah. Don't get lost in the gas tanks and in the coal, piles of coal.
Yes, exactly. So so anyway, it will be a three-hour tour, and then it'll end in a lunch. So actually, it's a four-hour tour, but 3 hours of actually touring.
And so, as it says here, you're going to be going past fuel storage tanks, mountains of coal, but you end up with solar panels.
Yes.
That's the way to set up a tour like that. That's
fabulous. Exactly. So what we want to do, again, the purpose of this is to make people aware of energy production, what it involves, but we also want them to be able to compare for themselves. What do you see when you look at BP Amoco and you see flames shooting out of stacks and, you know, you see steam coming off of things in this huge, huge, huge refinery? And then what do you see when you go to a solar farm? Do you smell anything? What do you see? So we want people to be able to make their own comparisons and make their own judgments about which way should we be going, what direction should we be heading in. So that's what we hope to accomplish.
And it's only $35. Did we get
$35? Yes, and people can register for this tour. Now we can only accommodate 28 people, and they can register and pay for the tour by going to our blog site, and that's setaskforce.org. I'm sorry, that's our website. It's setaskforce.blogspot.com.
And I have that link on my website, so so people go there. It's might be easier for them to do that.
Right. I'm sorry. There's a PayPal link, so we've made everything as convenient as possible.
Can they pay on site?
We don't encourage that, only because we really need to make sure we have enough people, and we've had so many people in the past register and then not show up. So then, you know, because this costs us money, we have to rent the trolley. And this, by the way, is a trolley tour. So they'll also get the experience of being on a trolley. But we don't encourage it. But I think for this tour, maybe we could make the exception.
But okay, folks, register online. Do them a favor. Help them out here because they're doing great work on the southeast side of Chicago, the Southeast Environmental Task Force. And we have something we want to play for you, Peggy. Heather, let her rip.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip.
There we go. The name of the trolley is the SS Minnow, and I hope you return.
Oh, we will be. I'm sure we will be. Believe me. They haven't been able to keep us down yet, so we'll be back.
All right. Peggy Salazar, we're going to talk again because the issues regarding the southeast side and energy and pollution never go away, so we're going to be doing this again.
Okay. Well, I thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. Have a good day.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Did you know that the Care of Trees is the largest tree care company in the nation to earn accreditation from the Tree Care Industry Association? The Care of Trees has always been committed to delivering the best tree care services to their clients, so it's not surprising that their longstanding commitment has been recognized by the TCIA. Now, why is that important? Well, TCIA members follow stringent performance standards for quality and safety. They maintain trained professional arborists on staff and are dedicated to ethics and quality in business practices. Through the accreditation process, and this was a challenging process, it serves to highlight that the Care of Trees is recognized as a tree care company that meets high standards of excellence set by their professional trade association. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
Welcome to August. The U.S. credit rating is going to heck in a handbag, but that's why we plant vegetables and other things in our gardens. And if you have a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, you will know how to take care of those Zone 5 plants. If you were flipping through your July-August issue right now, you'd see that August is the time to harvest tomatoes, cucumbers, beans, and squash, assuming they're ripe and the squash vine borer hasn't gotten to them. You'd also learn that you should harvest veggies when they're dry. It's also time to sow radish, lettuce, spinach, beet, and turnip seeds. You heard that from Rebecca Claypool, our Duluth Real Woman model who was on earlier, and farmer who was on earlier. At this time of year, you count backward from the average first frost date in northern Illinois, which is about October 15th. So you'll learn all that in the issue, and there's also my column on the inside back page. If you count back from 100 while reading it, you'll get a good night's sleep. Really, give it a try. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. But why do that when you can get a subscription and have it delivered to your home? Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com. And I think, see, now I don't know what I did here. Give me a second here. Okay, I'm running this ship. Not very well, but
the minnow would be lost.
The minnow would be lost. You know, sometimes you just do that. You say, oh, life, and especially when things like hailstorms happen and they fall on valuable pieces of real estate and actually institutions in our fair city of Chicago. And that's why I have Mary Eisenbach, who's the Director of Conservatories for the Chicago Park District, on the line. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm liking the fact that you're setting our catastrophe to an REM song, so I never thought of that, but we may have to go that way.
Well, you know, everything's a song. Everything. I mean, you heard me talking to Peggy Salazar a second ago, and, you know, it went right into Gilligan's Island. I don't know how that happens. but you've had an interesting month, haven't you?
It's been a very interesting month. Very interesting. And hot, but it's hard to notice the heat when you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Oh dear. I know. And what that's what I ask you is you know, since you brought it up, the glass gets shattered in the Garfield Park Conservatory and then you deal with a heat wave. How did that affect things?
Well, fortunately, you know, the conservatory is a pretty warm place during the summer anyway. And the way we control heat is by opening our vents.
Well, you had all those open, didn't you?
Yeah, we had quite a vent system going now.
Yeah.
And so fortunately, the heat did not affect us as much as it normally would.
Hey, you know, if you didn't laugh about things, you'd have to cry, right?
Absolutely. There's nothing that we can do about it. And you know, as people who work to bring people and nature together, you know, if we can't take nature in stride, I don't know who can.
Yeah, if you've been on the dark side of Pluto for the last 5 weeks and don't know that the Garfield Park got remarkably heavily damaged by a hailstorm, which took out my hostas, but, you know, I didn't have glass on top of them. The fix-up is been underway ever since. And I read on your website, and I'm looking at photos that Heather just called up here on the screen, and looking at a shard of glass that cut through a plastic pot. That's scary stuff.
Yes. I mean, the very fortunate thing, Mike, is no one was in the building. I mean, there was a security person, but not in any of the houses. And so no one got hurt, because somebody would have gotten hurt had they been in any of those houses.
Oh, my goodness.
Time.
Yeah, it's a good thing it was at night.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we have a hail plan for visitors, but the thing is that hail is pretty – it just starts. You know, with a tornado, you usually get at least 15, 20 minutes of a heads up so that we can stop visitors and corral visitors and get them to a safe place. With hail, I mean, if we closed our doors every time it said that a large storm could contain hail, we wouldn't be open a lot of the summer. So we just, I mean, we have a plan in place to move people to safety, but in that storm, that would have been just terrible, just terrible. So, it happened at night, and there's a real silver lining there, and because some of those shards are pretty darn big.
I know that different buildings got hit harder than others. Give me a quick idea of the amount of damage to the various rooms there.
So the rooms that were damaged were the old roofs. So the roofs that have been replaced since the mid-90s, which would include the Aeroid House, the Palm House, Sugar from the Sun, and the Children's Garden, were all, and Horticultural Hall, all withstood the hail. Some of them cracked, but they didn't shatter because they're laminated glass. The Desert House, the Fern Room, and the Show House were all the old single pane glass. They had not yet been replaced. And so those were the rooms that sustained the heaviest damage. Fern and Show, both of those roofs were about 85% destroyed. Desert, about 200 panes were, we know 200 panes were broken, but that doesn't include the panes that'll have to be taken out to get to the panes that were broken. And then the production houses were just decimated.
And I was talking to Zvezdana Kubat, your PR person, mm-hmm. yesterday, and I was kind of amazed that I said to her, you know, you had these sheets of single-pane glass up there that got shattered by and large, and I said to her, hasn't a hailstorm ever hit the conservatory before? What are the records on that? And she said, well, we don't think anything like this has happened since about 1940, is what she was thinking.
Right. I think that one of our preservation architect came across some archived Tribune articles that talked about a hailstorm in, I think it was the late 30s or 40s, and I have no idea what the damage was at that point, because as we all know, this particular hailstorm, the hail, the stones were crazy huge, and a lot of them, I mean, it hailed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So at the conservatory, you know, we're partially open to the public, and they, when you go through the conservatory and you see the panes of glass that we have whitewashed every spring, you know, we whitewash parts of rooms or full rooms to provide shade for the plants during the summer. And that whitewash is a paint formula that is designed to wear off when it gets snow or ice on it, so that we can then have full sun during the winter. Well, those paints that have whitewash, you can see anywhere between 20 and 40 dots where the paint has worn off. And every single one of those dots represents where a piece of hail hit it. So, you know, and that was the glass that remained intact. But I can't, that was an insane hailstorm. I mean, the pieces were huge, and there were a lot of them.
And I think the important point here, though, you know, because you describe all this damage, people need to know that the conservatory, as you said, is open for business right now.
Yeah, you know, well, because we, you know, our mission is important, and we believe in what we do. And so with the help of our trades guys and contractors, we were able to get the rooms that were damaged. We were able to get those secured so that the public couldn't access those, and that the rooms that were undamaged, we opened them to the public. So right now the Palm House, Sugar from the Sun, and the Children's Garden is open to the public. And then the outdoor gardens, which a lot of people don't even know about at the conservatory, the outdoor gardens are open. So it's still a great visit, and it's an even better summer visit now that we have all our outdoor gardens. And of course it's August, so the outdoor gardens are looking good. So you know, we want people to come and see us because the place looks great.
Let's have a caveat for that. Some places look great. But I was reading online there, and by the way, if you want, the point of this is to tell people that you should contribute to the restoration. The question I have to ask you, I'm looking online, and it says that the cleanup alone is $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the emergency cleanup. So that's the removal of the glass. So, for instance, the show house is done overhead. Fern room is almost done overhead. And now the unbelievably crazy painstaking process of removing the glass from the fern room will begin probably next week. And that means removing glass from the foliage up on top, you know, the tree ferns and the cycads, and then removing the glass at the ground level while working around the plants.
So for those people who say, well, why doesn't the city just pay for it? Well, I know the answer to that, which is they're already $700 million in debt.
Right.
And that's why people need to step up, and you've got a number of benefits coming up, and you want people to donate online. I noticed that the Lincoln Park Zoo is going to get involved in the benefit in September.
Yes.
And you've got a list of those, and I have a link to all of those. So if you want to go, you know, do this painlessly by going to a benefit and drinking wine or, you know, hearing music or something, there you can do that. But you can just go to the website and donate that way.
That's right, Mike. Thank you. We will be launching probably sometime this month, maybe second or third week this month, we'll be launching our One Paint at a Time fundraising campaign. But people can still go online right now and donate whatever they can afford. You know, we have had just an unbelievably outpouring of support and you know, people writing us letters and telling us how much the conservatory means to them, even if they haven't visited in 30 years. I mean, the place just had such an impact on them when they were kids, and continues to have an impact on people today. So it's been really heartwarming to see people, how much they love the place and how much it means to them. And, you know, they usually make a donation and to help us get this place up and running again.
Mary, what I want you to do, if you don't mind, is when you get this program going, I'd love to be part of it and continue to publicize it here on my radio show, because it is such an important institution in Chicago. So give me a holler, and I want to be part of this.
Well, we'll absolutely do that, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Mary Eisenbach, Director of Conservatories, Chicago Park District. You know, I have 20 more questions, and I have no time.
Okay.
But as we get into the winter, I'm going to start asking you. I'm going to try to get you back or somebody and talk about how we prepare for the winter with, you know, what the conservatory, the condition it's in right now. So, and we will talk about that in the future.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, Mary, take care. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Before we get out of here, Heather, I wanted to mention there's a thing going on next, on August 10th, so that would be Wednesday, called Local Fest. There's going to be a panel talk about developing local economies and community solutions to food scarcity. You know, I really want to get into this, and I'm going to be talking about agriculture in Chicago and local buying. But this one is its themes addressed are going to be developing local food systems, supporting local economies, Illinois, or developing jobs and entrepreneurship. And Local First Chicago is involved in this, Chicago Neighborhoods First, the Chicago Independent Radio Project, Conscious Living TV, and Grow, the movie. Of course, we had Sarah Carlson on about that. And this is at, because I got their flyer here. Wouldn't you know, it's I got it here, and I don't have the address. So, you know, when you put, I'm trying to see. There it is, Lincoln Hall, August 10th. $18, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Lincoln Hall. And I'm going to put that up on the Facebook page. And, of course, podcast of this will go up later in the day. I didn't get a chance to do my rant, but I'll do that next week. Oh, you're not going to be here.
I will not be here next week, no.
Or the week after.
No.
All right, that's fine. Well, that's
I'm going up to the Northwoods. I'm going to unplug for a little while.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I want to do that
too. I'll miss you, though, and I'll bring you back something, I promise.
And we got some great stuff going on in the next couple of weeks. Sorry you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
But Leah Petrusiak, Intrepid Green Reporter, will be here filling in for you. And again, like I said, podcast goes
She's
up.
She's a goddess in a spare time.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she listens to the show, which is, you know,
makes her more of a goddess in her spare time.
Exactly. Okay. Well, like I said, check out the podcast if you can't hear the whole show. And always write to us on Twitter and Facebook. And until next week, we say go green or
go home.
We'll see you then.